Mr. Drake, rail 12. Mr. Drake, you were talking about air activity in the French.
Yes, I was just wondering, the only casualties that I saw on that particular road were Wednesday Messerschmitts that come over, and there were three French vehicles, one flying a flag, so they must have been fairly high officials. And the Messerschmitts had managed to put one out of action. Anyway, by the time we got there, the French had disappeared and this vehicle was left on the road. So we had a look at it, and I think the radiator was bust, and we put some water in it, and I managed to get it started, and so I drove it back into the woods. So we got a car. A nice French general or whatever he was, we got his car to run about with, but we left it there because there was no way for us to run about with that. But so it was left in the woods where we were encamped.
Now, could you just describe that encampment, how it was organised?
Well, we were all I know is that we were in the woods, and they'd formed a cookhouse somewhere or another. We was getting food in reasonable supply. I do remember one incident when we laid a few biscuits down because there were some pigs around, and I laid in wait with my rifle, and sure enough one of the pigs picked up the biscuit trail, and I waited of it coming, bang, I shot it, this pig. So Sergeant Walton, who was a butcher by trade, I'd asked him beforehand, if I get a pig, will you do it? So they made a barbecue, lit a fire, we made a barbecue, we had pork chops and all like that going on, and he'd prepared everything, he knew just how to cut everything up, did Sergeant Walton. So we had a good beano that night. I remember Captain Kirkham coming around this, and we got that from us. Says, "Never mind where we've got it from. Do you want a nice pork chop?"
What did he say?
He took one.
So at and, this stage, did you encounter the combo rations? Or were you still?
Well, we had biscuits because we must have been on the compo rations then at that stage, and we were getting this sweets, cigarettes, and so many boxes for I think it was 14 rations for 14 for a week.
Now, during this period, apparently the rifle companies were obviously what they call Bald Hill and Green Hill.
Yeah.
Did you ever go up to those positions at all?
Not while we was down there. We moved up before they put the first attack in.
A little bit later. So just concentrating on this period when you were in the woods at Saint-Germain, did you encounter people like the colonel, the battalion HQ, people of that kind? Were they in this?
No. We seemed to I don't know where HQ was at that time. We were just encamped in this area because our main job was to patrol this particular road and make sure the Germans didn't send a patrol round and mind the road coming up, because all everything had to come up on that road, and it was essential that it was kept clear all the time. So our main job was from the woods. We used to go out with his patrols and patrol the road, and in different sections, one going and then another. So that was our main role, really.
And that was a continuous process? Or
that was a continuous progress while we were in that particular...
And would you patrol in the night as well?
Yeah, you patrol during the night as well as during the day.
And would that be... I mean, you talked earlier about sections of three carriers.
Yeah.
How many...
Three. A section of three would go along.
And they would all be out with a Bren gun?
They'd all got a Bren, and they'd all got the rifles.
Had you been... so there's no extra kind of... extra weapons or anything?
No, there's no extra weapons or anything. We'd got as full complement as far as we were concerned. There's no anything special.
Now, what kind of place was Seginaid, the village of Seginaid?
I don't recall a lot about it. There didn't seem much to it to myself. There only seemed to be a few buildings, and which I became familiar with later on. But we were never operating from the centre much. We were, although we moved up into Sedgedane eventually with the carriers, and then we had to operate on foot from there because it was fairly boggy, was the country itself, and the hills were towards the sea side. And towards Berserta, so we were encamped there, and it was while that period when we were there in the woods and that when we moved further forward, we was there quite a while, because there was one period when I went back to... I was posted back to a unit. We learned that there was given us an extra weapon, the Vickers machine gun. And I had a week, or a few days, I don't know how long, to go and get instructions on this Vickers, and how to work it and all the stops, and I think there were about 54 stops on a Vickers machine gun. So when it stops and you have to put it right to fire it again.
So there's 54 different faults.
There's about 54, I think, on a Vickers that and you have to know them all, otherwise you can't keep it firing.
So how many men went back on this course to
operate? Only myself. Just myself went, and...
Who told you that you had to go?
Captain Kirkup, I think, or Lieutenant Lax, one of them, telling you, you're on the course. We're getting a Vickers gun, and nobody can operate it here. Somebody got to go now on the course. I don't know whether it was 3 days or 2 days. It was only a short course.
And where was this?
It was further back somewhere. I don't know where. It was in open country, more or less, and there was Yanks there. So there were Yanks and British as well personnel, and of course I had this did this course on Vickers and came back, and we were still in the same positions. And
could you just focus on this course, and when you got to this place, who else was being taught besides yourself?
There were other personnel there besides myself. And they must have come from some other battalions, because there weren't anybody I knew, and there weren't anybody from DLI there.
And who was teaching you?
There were more or less people who were well acquainted with the gun. They knew everything about it, so there were his own army personnel, not the Yanks. Maybe the Yanks were learning just like we were how to operate it, but they'd more time than what such as I had,
and so
we were concentrated on rather than the Yanks. But we met up with the Yanks, of course, when it were meal times and things like that, and we were talking away.
So what impression did they make on you at this stage?
Well, I just took them as I'd normally done, with a certain amount of scepticism.
What was their reaction?
But they seemed to admire us. They seemed to admire the British immensely. So, which was nice.
With the Vickers, what did you think of the Vickers as you were learning this new weapon?
Well, of course, it was a tremendous weapon in that you could cover a whole field from left to right by just single taps and firing and tapping and firing, then lowering the gun at certain degrees and then going across the field again. So you could cover all fields and make sure you'd not missed anything.
What does tap mean? When you say tap and fire, what does tap mean?
Well, you tap it on the side and it just moves a certain amount of degrees. It was like in notches. So
it would gradually move in the gun,
the direction of the gun, and so that you covered the whole length of the field, and then you drop it a fraction. It was correct how to drop it, and then come across again and fire right away across till you got to the other side of the field, and you dropped it again, and so that you could blanket a whole field with the Vickers. It were accurate in that sense, and of course firing straight, they always taught you how you slackened the handle at the bottom, and you could have it on a swinging traverse. So you never get into that position where you're on a swivelling traverse, because he says you're never close enough with the Vickers to do that. He says it's a more long range covering the whole of the area with the Vickers gun. So that was the instructions I got.
Did you find it easy to master?
Only like any other. The remembering all the stops was a bit difficult. I couldn't tell you them now. I always remember one that was a bullet fast. He's pulled tap and that was it, your bullet. He's your lock. He pulled your bullets, which were in a case. They were all in, unlike Bren, which are in a magazine. These were all on a tape, and you used your lock, pulled your tape, tapped the lock down again, and carry on firing. That was one you never forget, because very often you get a tight bullet in and it didn't go through, and you pulled it and on it. You let the next one in so that you could carry on firing. That was the most important one, because that's what could happen.
Did it jam very often?
No, it didn't jam a lot. I don't recall it jamming when I actually got it in action.
Now, so you went on this course.
Yeah.
You learned how to use the Vickers.
Yeah.
And so did you take the thing back with you?
I don't recall bringing it back, but I recall having Vickers.
How many did you have? Once you'd got back to...
Say, we'd only the one. We'd only the one. And
so what did you do?
Had to try and teach the others how to use it. But there were only me could use it with any confidence. And it wasn't going to be long before we had it in action. So I never got a chance to instruct all the Kerry platoon on how to use the Vickers, but we'd only got one anyway.
So you came back and said your name, and so the routine at this time was the same as before, which is patrols on the road.
Yes.
Did you have any contact with your friends in the rifle companies, old friend in A company?
No. We were an isolated unit, as you might put it.
You didn't really know what they were doing?
No, I didn't know what was happening in their case.
Now, you're away from home. Had any mail caught up with you?
Oh, yes. We used to get the mail. It was never held up or anything like that. We got it periodically, you know, once a week or... But the postman was around nearly every day. He got some more coming up pretty regular and dropping the mail off, so we were always in contact, sort of thing, with back home and what was happening.
So about how long would a letter
now everybody would keep in pen.
How long would a letter take?
Oh, I don't think it'd take much more than a week, if that.
So you were fairly well informed.
Yes.
By your family. What about general news of the war, or general news of England and so on?
Well, we hadn't a lot, only what was expressed in the letters we got from home and what others had got, which, of course, you more or less gain a general information what was happening, and we knew Montgomery was pressing up from his destination from Alexandria right away up the coast. He got past Tobruk and was coming up in that direction, so we knew more or less the Germans were trapped in a shorter space every day because they were advancing. But this is when von Arnim decided, so that he could get his troops out, make some advances himself. So he started making spearheads right away along on the line. And this is where Said Your Name came up, because we was on right on the northern edge of the on the line at Said Your Name. We was about, as I said, 12 to 15 miles this side of Bizerta, and the hills on his left. And it was then that I remember going to a sort of a conference with the officers, and they were, I think the officers and the sergeants were called together, and they outlined the situation. And any questions at the end, and one of my questions is, well, I said, we know all who's around and who's coming in from every area. I says, I don't see anybody on his left. Who's on our left? Oh, there's nobody on his left. I says, well, what's the stop German? Oh, they can't not come round there, but there are a few Frenchmen in the hills there, and they will get warning if anything happening that way. So I thought it was queer. They said the Germans can't get round there, and I thought, well, there must be a road through the hills. The river's coming through, and I was a bit uneasy about that myself. It wasn't a very satisfactory answer as far as I were concerned.
Can you remember who the officers were at this conference? Was there the colonel there?
Yes, there was quite a few. The colonel was there, and one or two more.
How did he strike you, the colonel he had at this time?
He was the head, and that was it, as far as I was concerned. I hadn't had many dealings with him at all. I was going to do later, but I hadn't had any up to then. But they all seemed to know what they were doing, and they all seemed happy enough about it. There was only me who seemed to be disturbed about his left flank.
Now, when the Germans made their attack, their initial kind of advance, how did the news of that filter through to you, where you were in the woods?
Well, we were more or less had moved up to the woods just in more or less, which go up to Saginin itself. So we were higher up and opposite the hills on his left. And the story came through that a Frenchman had come out of the hills, and what his pals had all been surrounded and taken prisoner, and he was the only one that come through and said the Germans had advanced up into the hills there. So that was the situation. The next thing I know...
was this before the conference that you had? Or this was after?
This was after the conference. So it proved my point at the conference that I was a bit worried about who was on our left, and there was no substantial troops on his left. There weren't a battalion of any other sort. So... it proved my theory that I can't see anything stop them from coming round there, and we'll be in a trap.
So what happened after the Frenchman came through?
Well, after the Frenchman came through, so then it seemed the thing to do was the infantry companies had got to put an attack in. And that was, I suppose, that was what they were ordered to do.
Now, so, just to stop you there, Mr. Drake, apparently... according to the battalion history, the infantry, the rifle companies were up against Greenhill and Bald Hill.
Yeah.
And apparently they'd been pulled back to the woods.
Yeah.
Where you were, can you, before the attack, can you remember anything about that move back?
No,
made?
No, I didn't know where the rifle companies were.
So
being
were
with the carriers, I was still separate with the carriers, you see, and that was it.
So...
We had a different role, of course, in the rifle companies.
So, so at this stage, the Germans had broken through. What do you remember about the rifle companies' attack, first attack?
Well, we knew the Germans were in the hills there, outside of Saginin. And I recall the... rifle companies going early morning into the first attack onto the hills. In the meantime, we were pulled out, and we were separated from us carriers, and we're in Saginin itself, or just outside on the plain ground which led up to the hills. The river was running through at a certain point, and we were north of the river, and we just got the orders that there was a certain machine gun in one of the hills at the back which was causing a lot of damage to our troops as they advanced. So, and there was also a mortar, and theirs was I think it was a 6-barrel mortar, so that they could pop them in, keep popping them in all the way around, so that you were pretty efficient with their mortars. And they were, of course, throwing mortars down onto the plain below and covering the bridge, and so was the machine gun covering the bridge, which our troops had to would have to cross eventually to get from side to side of the river. You could go through the river, but obviously the obvious choice was to go over the bridge rather than go through it.
Could you see the rifle companies in front of you at this point?
I could see the rifle companies, some of them moving backwards and forwards on the which was our left, that was on the low side of the river. But they hadn't chance of attacking on the right because they couldn't get across. They were having a lot of difficulty getting across and going to us right. So that's when we got his first orders to... take the vicars up the first hill on the right hand side, and went to, apparently this particular hill wasn't occupied. We got to know that information. It wasn't occupied, so we had to go up the face of this hill and deal with the machine gun, which was implanted behind on the face of the hill in front of us, and the mortar, which was down between both the hills. So the vicars, being a heavy gun, they provided a mule, and we loaded it onto the mule, and then a strange thing happened. Captain Kirk had come up and said and cancelled the orders. So we sent a runner. The runner come back and said, it's all right, we've got to carry on what we've been instructed. So then Captain Kirk appeared again to cancel the orders. So I got a bit fed up with this. I thought, what the hell are we doing here? So I thought, right, I says, Lieutenant Lacks were with me. I says, I'm going back, I'll find out. I says, there's something wrong here. So I went back, and that first time I met up with the colonel, and he was walking up the main road as I walked down. And I explained to him what happening. I says, what are we supposed to do? I says, the runner comes up and tells us what we've been ordered to do. I says, the captain was coming up and reprimanding us and saying we haven't to go, we have to pull back. So I says, I've come down myself, I says, to find out. Oh, he says, don't worry, I'll see to that. He says, you carry on. He says, I'll see Captain Kirkup. Of course, he'd lost his marbles. And so that was my first encounter with the colonel, and he seemed a very nice fellow, and he understood the situation.
What kind of mood was he in at this point then, during this first attack?
He seemed kind of cool, calm and collective.
And what kind of mood was Kirkup in, do you think?
Kirkup?
What was his attitude?
Well, I understood Captain Kirkup, because he'd been at Dunkirk. He's one of the officers that had been at Dunkirk, and he'd gone through a lot. And as soon as he came to action, his body wouldn't take it. I mean, it's understandable. You've been in all this situation, probably a hell of a sight worse, and getting back from Dunkirk and things like that. When they came to any action again, as soon as he saw a German, his nerves went, and that was all there was to it. And that was the last time I think I saw of Captain Kirkup. I think they got him back and sent him into hospital. So we carried on. The mule was there. We loaded the mule, and we carried on towards